not part of heaven, you had to be thankful and appreciative of times like this that you can draw near your very presence. Come to the presence of the great and almighty God, who is also our Heavenly Father, who has made it possible for us to have this freedom of access in your presence, because you are willing to send your only begotten Son to this world to die for our sins. Father, we ask that you help us to grow in appreciation of you, and how to love you, trust you, and be true to you, faithful to you, even as you are true and faithful to us. Father, we ask that you also help us to learn to trust you and to recognize your hand in our lives, your solemn undertaking, and your deep sense of assurance that all those who trust in you will not be disappointed, but that you have definite purpose, need, in various situations you allow us to go through, many things that take place in our lives. We ask that you help us during times of difficulties, trials, that you will not be discouraged, but we may seek to understand what you are seeking to do in our lives, the things you desire to teach us, how we should respond in each situation. Father, pray that as we continue to reflect on what David went through, especially during the period we fled from King Saul, that in spite of the many difficulties and hardships that we endure, we know that you are watching over his life. And we ask that you help us, that we may be able to learn something precious and deep for our own lives, how we should understand and face the situations that we ourselves go through, that our perspective and attitudes may be right. We thank you for the scriptures and for all that we can learn, but we realize also that unless the Spirit of God opens up the truth to us, unless you speak to us and enlighten us, we know that we will not be able to benefit. And so Father, we ask that even for this evening, that you be pleased to be in our midst and to speak to us and to teach us, each one of us in our personal context, and also truths that you desire us to understand as your people. That you protect us and keep us from the evil one. You do not allow the powers of darkness in any way to harass us or distract us or to disturb us, in any way to hinder us from understanding and hearkening to what you have to say to us. We commit this time to your loving hands. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Today we carry on with our consideration of the subject of appearance and morality, the 56th message, the second major category of situations, the 32nd message, and the topic for today, what we can learn from what David, the fleeing fugitive, went through. What we can learn from what David, the fleeing fugitive, went through. The two preceding messages, we have considered how David, as he fled from King Saul, though it may appear a very miserable, terrible period, so much hardships, sufferings, and constant sense of insecurity, but in reality he was actually secure in the Lord and also was undergoing a period of well-being, because the Lord's hand was upon him. And we also saw how there was much meaning. For David during this period, the previous message we noted that God appreciated David, his attitudes and ways generally, and also how God highly honored him. And we noted that David had deep personal knowledge of God and his ways, the goodness of God, his greatness, his loving kindness, his sovereign undertaking, his provision, and how these are reflected in many of the Psalms written by David. And we looked at two of them, Psalm 23 briefly and Psalm 18 in greater detail. And we saw how the kind of knowledge with which David can testify of his personal knowledge of God and the depth and conviction with which he can do so, as evidenced in the Psalms, that this bears a relationship with the experiences David went through, including the difficult times, like the period he was fleeing from King Saul, and also how he went through them as he learned to trust God and to recognize God's hand at work in his life and also undertaking the various situations. That is, that though such times are difficult and unpleasant, it's not a miserable time, but in fact very enriching and helpful for his personal development and also for deepening of his knowledge and fellowship with God. And we should also learn to view such times in our own lives in this way, how we can deepen our knowledge of God and also the convictions and reality of the truths that we have affirmed and we profess. And today I want to highlight as the first point for today's message a related issue, that is the importance and helpfulness of such times for effective ministry. The importance and helpfulness of such times for effective ministry. Such times, I'm referring to various times of difficulties, trials, and you see how various very trying situations that David went through were rather helpful opportunities for him to learn and to see the significance of such times to prepare and equip us for effective ministry. That is to realize that such times and experiences with God, how we go through them with God, are very important not only for our personal development but also for ministry. Of course, there's always a relationship between true ministry and our personal inward development. But I want to concentrate today on the issue of ministry for the first point. But we need to bear in mind the qualification. If we go through such times well and we learn well, then they can be very helpful for future ministry. We want to serve the Lord as part of expression of gratitude to God, and also we recognize the meaning and privilege of service that can have a bearing on eternity. But a ministry where we have real impact on the lives of others, a ministry where there's life communicated, ministered unto others, a ministry where there's spiritual reality that comes through, that can touch the lives of others. All this comes about and bears a strong relationship with the way we go through life, the situations of life, and how we go through them with God. So such times are important if we are to be able and equipped to minister with reality, spiritual life, and impact. In contrast, the ministry is basically just of words, of concepts and ideas. with little line or reality, or true understanding and knowledge of the things that we talk about. And this is not uncommon amongst believers. Often we want to share with others, we talk about various things that the scriptures talk about, truths and principles, but what comes forth may have very little life and reality behind it, or in it, because we have learned little from the Lord through the various situations of life we've been going through. I'll elaborate a bit more on this afterwards. But if we ponder about the Psalms written by David, we read through them, reflect upon them, we'll find that many of the Psalms written by David are rather refreshing and helpful. And one major reason why these Psalms are rather refreshing and helpful is because as we read through them, we can sense that it reflects the reality of David's walk and relationship with God. Again, this personal knowledge of God. And also, we find that this kind of refreshing walk and relationship with God, and the way we can talk about the reality of God in his life, many of these expressions actually arise out of the many experiences with God through the various situations of life that David went through, including many trials and difficulties and periods of sufferings, uncertainties, opposition from his enemies, including times like the period when he was fleeing from Saul. If you read through the Psalms of David, you will find that they reflect many of the real situations of life that he went through. And some of the Psalms have specifically been indicated as arising directly out of David's experiences during the period when he was fleeing from King Saul. When we are considering Psalm 18, we already saw that this was so. Noted this, but I'll just refer you to a few other Psalms where there's indication also that it arose out of this period of his life. Example, Psalm 34. Psalm 34 says here, a psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, this is a psalm that you can read through for yourself. A very meaningful psalm, where he really appreciated the goodness of God and God's undertaking for his life. And this was indicated here that it arose during this period. And we've already seen when we were tracing that period when David was fleeing from King Saul, how when he was in the presence of Abimelech, how he had to feign madness. So this is one of the psalms that has arisen because of experiences during that period. Not just experience going through a situation, but how he went through with God and how he grew in his appreciation of God and the reality of God, and how God manifested himself, undertook for David during that period. Then you look at Psalm 54. I do not intend today to go through these psalms with you, but I suggest that you can read and ponder over them. I'll refer you to a few of the psalms, which you can read and ponder over them for yourselves and for your own benefit. And you can ponder over them especially with regards to the various issues that we'll be considering in these messages. They bear a relationship with various of these few messages we've been considering in relation to David's life during this period. They are rather helpful to read through and ponder with these issues in mind. Psalm 54. Also indicated here, regards to David, when the Ziphites came and said to Saul, "Is not David hiding himself among us?" So indication here also that the son, there appears to have been a reason, a reflection on what David went through during this period. Likewise, Psalm 57, Psalm 57, son of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Then Psalm 59, son of David, when Saul sent men and they watched the house in order to kill him. I think you can still remember that we looked at this incident and how Saul, King Saul's daughter, was then married to David, helped David to escape. And Psalm 142 seems also to be a psalm that has arisen related to events during this period. Psalm 142, Psalm of David, when he was in the cave. This could be a reference to the period when David was in the cave during the time when he was fleeing from King Saul. Psalm 142 could also be referring to this period when he was in the cave. But apart from these psalms that are specifically indicated, especially Psalms 18, 34, 54, 57, 59, how they have arisen and reflected or reflects David's experience of the Lord during this period, we need to bear in mind also that many other psalms that do not indicate this way, his experiences during this period, are also reflected. And future, as you read through the Psalms of David, as you bear this in mind, it will become more obvious. But it's not just during this period. The main point I want to communicate is that all kinds of experiences that David went through, including, and sometimes the more difficult context, can actually contribute more significantly to his appreciation of God, as well as the effectiveness with which he can communicate these truths to us in a way that will benefit us, have an impact upon our lives, and that we can learn more significantly and more deeply. So such experiences with God are very helpful, precious, for personal development as well as for ministry. So even as we long to serve the Lord, to be able to serve the Lord effectively, to have an effective ministry, let us then take note that all kinds of situations that God wants us to go through, they are important for us to go through well and to learn well. I mentioned all kinds of situations that God wants us to go through because we need to be careful about situations that we ourselves venture into. Not because God leads us into those situations or God allows those situations to come our way, but we venture into them on our own, then it can be different, it can be harmful for our lives, and we can enter into all kinds of complications which are not good for us, which causes problems for our lives. But let us not despair or be discouraged when situations are difficult. Whatever the Lord allows us to go through, whatever God wants us to go through, let us remember that they have a bearing on our development as well as ministry, and even as we long to be able to serve the Lord well, let us remember that God in His sovereign wisdom orders our lives, and these are opportunities that He grants to us to learn well so that we can serve Him well. And as we ponder further about this area, it's very helpful to realize that God allows us to go through many different kinds of situations. There are many different things that He wants us to learn. And sometimes the truths and principles may be similar, but there are many different aspects, varying degrees of depth that He may want us to appreciate. And also some areas that we have not learned well, He may want us to learn better. And when I talk about various contexts and situations and how they can equip and prepare us, we must also not just think in terms of very dramatic kind of situations or necessarily very varied from an external point of view or based on outward appearance of things. Even situations that may not appear very unusual, there are many helpful aspects in the direction that now I want to elaborate. And that is, in the various situations of life as we learn to go through with the Lord, they provide us with food for future ministry. And also, as we learn to go through, and we go through them well, then they slowly builds up within us. We accumulate various very helpful, precious things in our lives, which I refer to as a storehouse, from which we can then draw forth for our future ministry. See, we want to serve the Lord, but many of us will find that in our desire to serve, to share, to communicate with others, sometimes, as I said, we may talk about things that we hardly know anything about, little reality of these things in our lives. But there may be some areas where we can share meaningfully. They are real to us. But the sad thing is that for many of us, the things that we really learn from God, really precious and meaningful to us, that we can share meaningfully through ministry, often these things are so limited. So when we share, we talk about a few things and then that's it. It's exhausted. There are very little within that we really learn from the Lord. But if we learn well from the Lord, through many situations He allows us to go through, we accumulate. So you can put it as, you can compare the storehouse, we accumulate, more and more we store up. Now this storing up, it's not just about specific issues and principles alone, although it can include that, various truths and principles that have been impressed upon us in a fresh way, and we've gained insight, understanding, not only of truths and principles, but also of God, who He is and how He works, God and His ways. So various aspects that we learn about God and insight we gain into the truths we will come to recognize through situations that we've actually gone through, all these are very precious that we accumulate, we store up. Of course, this also bears a relationship with the ongoing inward development within us. So as we accumulate, as we store up in this way, then you'll find that with passing time, we accumulate more and more. Now this accumulation of more and more is something a bit difficult to be precise about, be very clear about, but as I mentioned, that it goes beyond just specific items, principles that you can number them. So your storehouse is more if you can say that I have gone through how many different kinds of situations, I have learned how many principles, you can count them, and the more you can list out, the more you have in your storehouse. It's not exactly like that. Although, as I mentioned, various truths and principles, aspects of understanding of God and His ways and what He has revealed in His scriptures, this form part of it. But this storehouse I'm talking about also includes another aspect that's intangible, yet very real in the spiritual realm. And it has to do with something that we learn that makes an impression, that has an imprint in our lives, in our very being. The reality, the spiritual realities that we've come to experience and learn and respond to, that has made a difference to our own lives. You come to appreciate God, the ways of God, His attributes, and also the way we've responded to Him. So for example, as we learn about the sovereignty of God, we may appreciate His truth to a certain degree, but it is quite different when we learn to trust God in His sovereignty through many different situations of life, especially very difficult times. And we really learn to trust Him. That the way we learn about the sovereignty of God, the reality of the sovereignty of God, will make an imprint upon our lives, make a difference within us that becomes very different. And this is an area, even just one principle, one truth, can be learned again and again through many situations of life in a way that's very helpful, that continues to contribute to what I mentioned just now about this storehouse issue. It's not just, oh, I've learned about the sovereignty of God, but many, it keeps on. We keep on accumulating in our learning, appreciation of these truths, and our response to God. And so with many other principles and truths revealed in the scriptures and the reality of God, learning how to trust Him, how to pray, and so on. And in the future, as we accumulate, as we grow, as we respond in these areas, then when we learn to, when we share, when we talk to others, these things that we have learned, that means something to us, can be manifested. Whether we talk about it directly or indirectly, it will be manifested. And it will form the basis on which there can be true ministry to others, as contrasted to just words and concepts. So I've mentioned about spiritual food. As we go through, we accumulate, it can then become spiritual food for others, a storehouse from which we can draw for future ministry. Another aspect that we can consider is what I would term strength and foundation, on the basis of which we serve. I mentioned just now that sometimes we may just talk about things that may have very little spiritual reality in our own minds. We hardly appreciate those realities. At times, there are areas of truth that we may have learned. They are real to us. But because we have learned a little, we only know a little bit, then we find if we are not careful, we may have learned something real from the Lord, but then we begin to share to others. But if we have not learned much, and we have not accumulated much, then there's very little strength and foundation within. You'll find that as we begin to minister to others, if you're not careful, then not only we have very little to give, and we're soon exhausted in the sense that there's nothing left to give, not only that, but you'll find that as we begin to share, if you're not careful, our own life, our own faith can be shaken. And this is an area that we should take note of and be careful about. Many have experienced this. Sometimes they are aware of it, sometimes they may not even be aware of what's happening to them. They learn something meaningful, they share about it, they talk about it, and after that you find that they cannot carry on properly in their lives. They are shaken. Sometimes, in particular, especially the area that they've learned, that they've shared about, but sometimes it goes beyond that. Their whole life gets shaken. Because there's very little strength and foundation built up. So it's not that what they are sharing, what they're talking about, is no reality in their lives. But they lack the foundation, the strength. So it is very important for us then to recognize that if we want to be really useful for God, an effective ministry, true ministry, then we must build up. We must recognize that the many situations of life that God allows us to go through are intended for our learn to equip us, that they can then in the future be a source, a basis of food, spiritual food for others, storehouse from which we can draw forth for ministry, and also increasingly we accumulate, we learn, and we are strengthened, and there's a foundation. So as we minister, we share and minister from abundance, not a little bit and easily shaken, or easily there's nothing left to give. So we must constantly build up, keep on accumulating. And if we do that, then we also are wise in the way we minister, in the way we serve, in the way we share. Then you find that the sharing, not only it doesn't have a negative effect in the sense of our being shaken and our faith negatively affected. You'll find that as we go through situations, we are learning from the Lord, and we also know how to regulate in the way we minister and share and contribute our part. You'll find that we actually grow stronger in the process. The very sharing, service, true service unto God, properly regulated, would contribute to this very process of our building up of our foundations and the storehouse. Because even as we minister, there are many things to learn in the process of contribution. So it's not that we must keep on storing up until we are until we are very mature, then we can start serving God. No, we can start in small ways, what is suitable for us, even while we are young in the faith, but to realize that we need to constantly build up so that we have more and more, and that we will be able to become more and more effective, but also to recognize that when we have little and there isn't much of a foundation and strength, then if you're not careful, the way we go about ministering and sharing, we may, while we are doing it, be excited about it, later find that we are not able to cope with it because there isn't sufficient strength and foundation and our own faith is shaken. So as we learn well from the Lord, as we go through these situations well, as we continue to accumulate and to grow in this way, we'll then find that as we share, as we minister, there's reality in what we are talking about. We communicate and minister life to others. And what I'm talking about here in the area of service and ministry, that in these issues that we're talking about, is true regards to preaching, it's true also regards to teaching, but it's also true in the area of sharing or counseling, helping others with various issues of life. Here we're talking about in a Christian context, a Christian perspective. It's true whether we be talking to groups or talking to individuals. These issues apply. And the difference will be there. There will be a difference between those who have experienced the meaning and the reality of the truths they are talking about and those to whom such truths are just concepts and ideas. The difference will be there. The difference of impact. Sometimes people are able to recognize it, sometimes they are not. Some may be very enthusiastic or very taken up when they hear certain things that sounds very interesting and exciting, but yet they may not be real positive impact upon their lives in any significant way. In certain facts, sometimes it can have negative effects. But those who have really learned well from the Lord, as they preach, as they teach, as they share, as they talk, constantly flowing forth from them will be the ministry of life and reality, and the impact will be there. Of course, the positive impact will be for those who are receptive, for those who react and rebel against the truth and against the law. The effect will not be positive, it will be negative. But the true spiritual ministry will come forth from the lives of those great lady learn from the Lord, and we have learned well in the various situations of life they go through. So let us learn to view the situations of life we go through in this way, as opportunities that God has granted to us deliberately. It is God's intention that we learn well. Don't look at situations of life just from the angle of whether it's easy or difficult, and just always hoping for more pleasant or for easier times. But if our hearts really long for true knowledge of God and how to be faithful to Him, how to be effective in our service unto Him, then let us learn to concentrate more on how to learn well from the Lord. Whatever context, situations He sees helpful for us to go through. But in our consideration of these issues, I thought I'll just briefly mention two important related aspects so that the issue will be a bit more wholesome for our understanding of this area. Two important related aspects. One is good understanding, grasp of truth, and how Christians ought to live. One, good understanding, grasp of truth, and how Christians ought to live. The second, with the aspect, reception and appropriation of these truths into our lives. Reception and appropriation of these truths into our lives, which implies commitment to live by them, which implies commitment to live by them, and actually living accordingly through the various situations of life, and actually living accordingly through the various situations of life. I mention these two important related aspects because we've been concentrating more on how we learn through experiences of life, and how we build up our lives and the storehouse from which we can then minister in the future. But besides going through various situations of life well, we need to realize that this is related to good understanding and grasp of truth. So this area is important. We need, first of all, to have understanding, to realize the importance of good understanding and grasp of truth, and how Christians ought to live is related to truth. And the second aspect, the reception. We understand, after we've heard, we come to recognize, we understand we must receive them, appropriate them into our lives, which implies we're committed to live by them, and then the living accordingly. In other words, living according to what we come to understand. We've appropriate these truths in our lives, we then live out accordingly to the various situations. I mention these two aspects because in the various situations of life we go through, how to go through well. It's not just when we're confronted with a situation and we try to go through well. So how hard we exert ourselves in a particular situation will determine how well we can go through them. That is only part of it. In order to go through situations well, how to learn well, how to go through them well together with the Lord, it bears a relationship with whether we have been growing in our understanding, our grasp of truth. So we must appreciate the various opportunities, contexts where God grants us opportunities to learn, to grasp well, not just some vague understanding. So as we learn to grasp well, the second aspect comes in. Have we really received them well into our lives, appropriated them? And then we are then more ready to go through the various situations. We begin to put into practice. We begin to live out accordingly. So these two aspects are also, it's also helpful to recognize the relationship between these two. In order to receive, to appropriate well the deep truths of God, we must first have good understanding. And also in order to live out well, we need to have good understanding. But the other aspect also is true. It's only as we learn to receive well, appropriate the truths we come to understand, if there is real hunger in our hearts, real longing for the truth, and as we come to recognize the truth, we receive it deeply into our lives, and also learn to put into practice. Because when we talk about reception of truth, appropriation, if it is true, that's why I mentioned it implies commitment to live by them. If it is true, it must then be reflected in the actual situations of life we go through. Do we really live like that? Do we really live as we should, according to the principles of truth that we affirm, we believe in, and we think that we have received them into our lives and appropriated them? If it is truly appropriated them, received them, then they must be reflected in the way we go through the situations of life, how we go through them, how we trust God, and so on. Now, if we respond well in the situations of life because we really receive these truths, then it will be a significant factor in how we continue to grow in our understanding and grasp of truth, the first aspect. So sometimes we want to grow in understanding, we want to grasp truth well, but we can't grow well in that area unless our hearts are really receptive and we seek to work out diligently what we have come to understand. The two are closely related. And when I talk about reception and how we live out accordingly, I want to emphasize here a very important point, and that is the reception, appropriation, and living out accordingly. It's not just a question of yes or no, have I done it or have I not done it. The way we go through situations of life and how we are true to what we've come to understand, the truths we've been hearing, the way we go through it, there are many, many different levels of faithfulness as well as depth of response. It varies a lot from person to person. It can vary a lot also from regards to the same person, how well we are going to respond to that situation. Likewise, our appreciation of the truth. You say, well, I appreciate the truth and God is sovereign. But how much insight have we gained into the truth of God's sovereignty? It varies a lot. Likewise, the depth to which we commit our lives and trust God's sovereignty in the situation we are going through, the strength of conviction and the way we trust God, it can vary a lot. The issue is not just whether we are trusting God or not, but there are many different levels and depths of trust and application, reception, application of the truths that we have come to understand. So this will be an ongoing process in our lives all the time. To what degree do we really long to understand, to grasp the truth, and to come to know God and His ways? To what degree we are receiving these things in our lives? To what degree we are applying these truths in our daily lives? How do we go through the various situations of life? All this bears a relationship with one another, and it's an ongoing process going on all the time. So if there are healthy longings in our hearts, not just lips or just an emotional thing, or just to be able to try to accumulate a lot of knowledge so that we can feel that we now know a lot or we know more than others, if it's that kind of unhealthy form, then you'll find that you are not really listening properly, you will not be able to live out these truths in the various situations of life. And you find that for believers, often a lot of these things come in. In other words, often we can have a false sense of understanding, grasp of truth, or even a reception, appropriation of these truths in our lives. And one of the ways in which we can recognize, attest true understanding and reception of the truths and principles that we've been learning will be the actual situations of life that we go through, how we go through them. They often reveal in the prayerful way. From here on, as you go through various situations of life, ponder about it and it becomes clearer to you. How much have you really learned of God? How much have you really come to know God? And how much have you learned to trust Him? And the many different principles of truth that you affirm, that you believe in. How much, how deep, how real are these things to you? So when you go through trying situations, difficult situations, you find you're anxious, you're not able to live out accordingly, according to what you've come to understand, how a Christian ought to respond in that situation, according to your understanding that you've arrived at, even according to your own knowledge and understanding, then it will help you to realize in to what degree you're actually lacking in a true knowledge and reception and appropriation of these truths into your lives. But if we receive them well, we learn to go through the situations well, if we have been healthy in our attitudes and ways, and we have been growing in understanding, true understanding, and healthy reception of truths we come to understand, as we seek to live out accordingly in various situations of life we go through, then you'll find that not only you go through the situations well, but in the very process of going through these situations, you'll find that you grow, you have increasing insight into these truths. And this is a very real thing. The many truths that we have been pondering about, as you go through the situations of life, if you go through it prayerfully together with the Lord, in the very process of going through them, there's growing insight into these things. If you ponder about what David went through, as he was going through the various situations, as he fled from King Saul, many of the things about God and God and His ways, he had already learned to some degree before that period. But as he learned to continue to trust God in those situations and see God undertake for him, he will continue to grow in insight into his understanding of God and the ways of God, as well as many other issues of life, including his understanding and perception of man, how King Saul behaved, for example, and how the people around him, how they conducted themselves. You learn to go through prayerfully, you'll find that you grow in perception and insight into many, many issues of life. And that is very important for us to take note of as we go through situations of life. So there are many different aspects of learning. There are times of learning whereby in the quietness of our time with the Lord, we ponder over various truths, we search the scriptures. There are times of learning when we hear the preaching, the teaching of truths. When we come together and learn together with God's people, these are all very important and precious times. But all these are supplemented, complemented. They complement one another as we also learn to go through situations of life where many of these truths that we've been trying to understand, pondering over, we gain insight and understanding of these things in the various situations of life that we go through. Going through such times well will also help us to understand and also to identify with others who are going through struggles and difficulties, and also enable us not only to understand and identify with them, but also to share with them effectively. Now, we need not go through identical experiences before we can identify and understand with their struggles or to share with them effectively. But there are similar truths
principles, approach and perspective which are relevant. And if we have learned to go through similar situations as far as the principle is concerned, we are going through difficulties, we have also gone through difficulties. We have to share with them about how to go through these times meaningfully, trusting God, looking to God. Have we learned to go through it this way? Now, if we have learned to go through difficult times, trusting God, learning how to pray, how to understand what's going on, and so on, then we are in a position to understand, identify with others, as well as to share in a way that will be relevant to them, helpful for them, and also as they hear, they will be able to recognize that we understand what they are going through, and we will be able to share truths and principles that are relevant to them. So I'll now just summarize the importance and helpfulness of such times for effective ministry by noting four related points which we have covered. Just summarize them in four related points, but to take note that these four related points are true only if we go through the situations well and we are learning well. One is true knowledge of what we are talking about. Such times help us in this direction for effective ministry. True knowledge of what we are talking about. In other words, reality, spiritual reality. They're not just principles, concepts that we know in our minds, but it's reality. We've learned them. They're real to us. They're varying depths. Our insight and knowledge of these things. But the point is true knowledge, reality. Second point is food. Spiritual food, strength and foundation, and a storehouse from which to draw forth for future ministry. Spiritual food, strength, foundation, storehouse from which to draw forth for future ministry. Third point is to understand and identify with others and communicate effectively. Understand and identify with others and communicate effectively. The fourth point, ministry of life and impact. Ministry of life and impact. These four points are related to one another. They are not totally separate from one another. So if you learn to go through the various situations of life well, and we are learning from the Lord, then we find that we can communicate. I use the communicate as I mentioned, because it can be preaching, teaching, sharing, talking to individuals, to groups. We can communicate, we can share meaningfully, as well as with conviction about God and the ways of God. We can talk, we can share with conviction about trusting God, about the meaning, the significance of prayer, about how to adopt a proper perspective and the approach to life, the issues of life, how to go through situations properly. Now, a lot of these things, if you are not careful, we talk about them, they can sound rather hollow and empty and unreal to people. But it will not be so if in our own lives we've been going through them meaningfully. But it will not be unreal as we talk about them, it will not be hollow or empty. Because we can vary varying degrees of it. And that's where we need also to bear in mind also a helpful spiritual reality and principle truth here. Even as we learn to recognize there are varying degrees of our appreciation of truth and the reality of these things in our own personal experience and knowledge, then we also need to bear in mind the way we share and talk about these things. How to go beyond what is suitable for us in relation to the degree of attainment of our knowledge of these things. By that I mean, there are some people who have some degree of knowledge of the greatness of God, the provision of God, God's undertaking, answers to prayer and so on. But if you're not careful, then we can talk in a way where what comes forth is in a very pronounced kind of way. It goes far beyond the rarities of what we have experienced in our own lives. And not just talking that these things are real, but which is true, because the sovereignty of God and the attributes of God, they are absolute and perfect. So we just talk about them, that these things are true of God. There's nothing wrong with that in itself. But here I'm not talking about just that point. But the communication, the way of talking about it, that comes through as if these things are so real to us in that degree. That is the point that I'm trying to put across, that we need to take note of. That the way we talk, we project as if we have learned these things about God. The degree of it, the depth of it, we're trying to communicate. We need not be just, I'm not saying that it is just the words that we use that have known God so much and so much, how deep and so on. It's not just that, but the whole way we project it. If we are not careful, then we can be projecting the whole manner of talking about these things. We communicate in a way far beyond what is real in our lives. Then there will be this element of the emptiness, the hollowness in it. Because to whatever degree you've gone beyond what is real to our lives, and yet we're projecting these things in our communication, then it is hollow and empty and unreal. Not only that, the effect upon the one at the receiving end, the degree that we have gone beyond what is real, to that degree the ministry is not a ministry of life and reality, and the effect upon the person at the receiving end will not be so helpful. Not only that, there will be a negative effect on our own lives as we talk about things in that way, which is not really true and real in our own lives. And now I want to go on to the second point in today's message. First point is on how such times are helpful for effective ministry. Now go on to the second point. There are times when we may feel rather difficult because the situation is difficult, and we may feel rather harassed and at a rather disadvantageous position. That is a reflection of how what David went through when he was going through those kind of contexts. In contexts like this, we may feel difficult, harassed, in a disadvantageous position. And there are many different kinds of situations of life we go through where at times we feel this way. And also, there are occasions where we may feel that others were ungodly and also against us. They may seem to have so much say or sway or power over our lives. And at times you can feel a bit helpless. King Saul had seemed to be having so much power to exercise, and David seemed so helpless. And King Saul was against David. He seems to be in a rather harassed and difficult position. There are also contexts where we may feel that we are not quite able to accomplish anything significant, anything much, even though we love the Lord. or to a more extreme situation, you may feel that the situations you are in or lying becomes quite meaningless. And you can feel this way, thinking about David as he fled from place to place under those circumstances. You feel as if he's not accomplishing anything, just running from away from place to place like that, and seems so meaningless. Not only insecure, anytime he can die, the whole thing seems so meaningless. You can feel that way if you're in context like that. And this is not uncommon. Christians do have all these kinds of feelings, and sometimes it goes beyond feeling. They really think like that. It affects them, and they can become rather discouraged and feel that they can't achieve anything because of the context that they are in. There's nothing much they can do about it, and life seems so meaningless. They're so helpless. How should we view and go through such times and contexts? Here's an issue that I want to consider with you. A preliminary aspect that's helpful to bear in mind is, first of all, to recognize that this may just be the outward appearance of things. This may just be the outward appearance of things. I say maybe because if our lives are not right before God, then it can really be that way. Our lives may be really quite meaningless, and we are really not accomplishing anything significant. But if we are actually going through well with the Lord, then this would be just the outward appearance of things. So I say recognize that this may be just the outward appearance of things. I want now then to consider with you a very important principle and a very helpful approach and posture to take. Very helpful approach, posture to take. Whatever situations of life you may be going through, especially context that may give rise to appearance in the direction that we'll be talking about just now. Perilous, difficult, as if meaningless, not accomplishing anything much. And this is an approach and posture that we can learn from pondering over what David went through during that period. And if we learn this approach and posture well, it can help us significantly. It can be very helpful to enable us to face and to go through all kinds of situations properly, whatever the situation may be. And in this approach, the starting point would be first ponder prayerfully. Are our lives right before God? Whatever may be the situation, we first ponder over it. Are our lives right before God? Is he pleased with us? These are all related questions that we ponder over. They're related. Our lives right before God? Is he pleased with us? Are we where he wants us to be? And are we going through life the way he desires? Are our lives right before God? Is he pleased with us? Are we where he wants us to be? And are we going through life the way he desires of us? I say ponder over prayerfully because we shouldn't too quickly answer yes to all these things, but to make sure, ensure that we can sincerely and give a very definite yes to all these questions, which are all related. And this is very important. And to realize that if we can say yes to all these questions, which are basic, we should always make sure that we can say yes to these basic questions of life for a Christian, for anyone who affirms love for God, commitment to God. Our answer to all these questions must always be yes. In any way it is a qualified yes or no to any degree, we must straight away take whatever measures and steps that are necessary. This is basic to one who affirms love for God. But to realize that, yes, this is true, it must be true of all those who love the Lord. We must make sure, ensure the answer to all these questions is yes. But now I want to carry on with the approach that we are considering, and that is, if pondering over prayerfully, we can say yes to these questions, if this is so, then it follows that in our hearts we can have the assurance that we are doing well, we are faring well. Whatever the outward appearance of things, it appears as if we can't do anything much, meaningless and so on. It is not so. That it would only be the outward appearance of things. We are faring well. And this means it leads to the assurance also that we can then face each situation and all situations, whatever the situation and context, with confidence, proper confidence. If we can say yes to these questions, we can face any situation, any context, with true confidence. Confidence, I want to elaborate a few aspects which are very important for us to be sure about, clear about. Because all this has to do with the real issues of life, what really counts, what really matters. We can then have true confidence about meaning in our lives. We can then be deeply confident that there is meaning in the situation that we are in the context that we are in. There is meaning. It will not be a meaningless kind of context or situation. It cannot be, because God is pleased with our lives. Our lives are right before Him. He is undertaking. So it cannot be meaningless. There is meaning in the situation, whether obvious or not. There is meaning. Not just a little bit, but much meaning in it. Very important for us to recognize this, and that we then learn to learn, we then recognize the need to go through it well, to learn well, to fulfill what God requires of us in that situation. There's much meaning in that situation and context. Related to this is the true confidence of God's sovereign undertaking the situation. He's pleased with us. God is sovereignly undertaking, and let's expect true confidence that there's direction, a positive direction. And then let's expect the true confidence that we will not be living in vain. We will not be living in vain, but our lives will be fruitful. The true confidence that there's much meaning, God is sovereignly undertaking, there's positive direction, we will not be living in vain, but our lives will be fruitful. Now, this will be an answer to some of those feelings and what appears to be that we considered just now. We feel harassed at the disadvantageous positions, people having so much sway, power over our lives. It's not really like that. God is sovereignly undertaking the sovereignty of God in that situation. Feel meaningless and so on. It's not so. There's much meaning in the context, the situation. There's positive direction. We feel as if we cannot accomplish anything. Our lives being wasted. We're just wasting away. We will not be living in vain, but we will produce much fruit. We'll be fruitful. The Lord Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you, and you will produce much fruit." Whatever may be your situation and context, if you are abiding in the Lord and the Lord abiding in you, but the fruit that you'll be bearing may not be what others are thinking about, or obvious to others, or even what you may be thinking about or looking for. But you can rest assured that if you put right your life before God, you can have true confidence in these directions. Now here it's not just talking that objectivity is so and let the matter rest there. The point I want to emphasize is that the main thing we should be concerned about, whatever the situation that we are going through, is to first of all ensure that our lives are right before God. And whatever is necessary to do, to make sure, to correct it so that it is right. Let us concentrate on that. Make sure that our lives are right before God. We are faithful to Him. And that's where He wants us to be. If that's not the correct place, we need to move, then we move. But if that's where He wants us to move, to be in, and there's some context whereby we cannot move, it's part of the framework within which we must live out our lives, then as we are clear that we are going through life the way God wants us to be, to do so, then we can have this deep sense of assurance and this deep confidence that that situation, that context, that framework within which we are working out our lives, that there's much meaning, God is sovereignly undertaking, there's a positive direction, we are not living in vain. Now when we recognize this, we affirm it, and we exercise faith in it, that this is so, because this is in accordance with the truth. This is quite clear, it is so, it has to be this way. Then the whole way we go through the situation becomes very different. And this is very important. The whole perspective, the whole way, the posture in which we go through life's situations are very critical. I mentioned just now that God wants to equip us, to train us, much that He wants us to learn, as well as opportunities for service. But all those are not automatic. A very important aspect to do is how we go through it. But how well we go through it has a lot also to do with our approach, our perspective, our posture. If we go through situations, and it can easily happen for many believers, when we go through a lot of difficult times, as I said, like what David went through, can easily feel as you run from place to place, flee from place to place, can easily feel that it's so miserable, can't really do anything significant, helpful, positive, there's no real positive direction, I'm just wasting away my life in the wilderness. But it will not be so. It is not so, and if you have the view that it is so, then the whole way you go through it will not be meaningful, and as a result, you will find that you are not able to benefit from what God wants to teach you, as well as to contribute what He desires of you. It is very important, as well as meaningful, to be able to face and to go through all kinds of situations of life with this kind of confidence and sense of assurance and direction. I mentioned very important and meaningful to be able to go through this way, but the other is to realize that not only very meaningful to be able to go through this way, but to realize that we can actually go through all kinds of situations in this way with this kind of confidence. And the reason we can go through this kind of confidence and assurance and direction is because of the reality of God, because God exists and because of who He is. And we can have this kind of confidence by ensuring to the best that we know how, that the answer to the few questions that was raised just now is yes. If God doesn't exist, then of course we cannot have this kind of assurance, this kind of confidence. But because God exists, and because of the perfection of God, because of who God is, we can have this kind of assurance. It's legitimate, it's proper, it's proper confidence. So long as we constantly make sure that we take whatever corrective measures that are necessary or helpful to ensure that our lives are right before God. Now this posture and this kind of proper sense of assurance, direction, confidence, as I mentioned, is very helpful for whatever may be the situation that confronts us. But now I want to go on to consider with you that apart from various difficult and very trying situations, where such an approach and posture will be very helpful, and we should deliberately ponder how to consciously adopt this approach in the various situations of life, especially trying situations we go through. But now I want to consider with you this area of truth with regards to a major area of life that many of us are concerned about. There's a bearing on many of our lives. In fact, all of us, a major area of life relevant to all of us, and that is the issue of marriage. The issue of marriage. I want to consider now this truth in regards to the issue of marriage. Some of us who are single, we may feel that life as a single person is very difficult, and we may also feel that we're missing out. We're missing out so much compared to those who are married, those who have children, those who have family life. We are single, we are lonely, we are missing out. Sometimes we feel that we cannot take it, and we may feel that it's so much more meaningful. There's so many advantages if only we get married. And so we are of the view that it's better for us to get married. And those of us who do not stop at that, we then try hard to get married. But when they get married, as they face various difficulties, they may again feel very difficult. And they may feel, and it comes through to them, that they never realize that marriage life can be so difficult. And become so difficult, they may also feel, how can I carry on? How can I carry on? They may then long for or envy others around them who have so much freedom, the freedom of those who are single. Then there are those who are married with no children. Some of them have no children, and also they feel very difficult, no children. Besides various other pressures from others who look at them, so they themselves may long very much to have children. So they feel very difficult, they cannot have children, and they have the view that it's very good to have children. They want very much to have children. They may also try very hard to have children. But when the children come, they may find it's very difficult. The difficulty may start even before the baby comes, while the baby is on the way, during the period of pregnancy, in the labor pains, in the delivery. Sometimes they may go through such periods of great anguish. They may at times feel that they cannot carry on, cannot take it anymore. And after the baby comes, they may find that life doesn't seem meaningful, because they find there's so much time, energy, taken up in just doing the little things, attending to the baby's needs. So many little things, so much time and energy all taken up. And so much difficulty coping with the demands of the baby, lack of sleep, and so on. And the baby, and the crying of the baby, the fretfulness of the baby falling ill, and so on. And then you find there's so much responsibilities in the family, in the home, and tending to the babies. So many heartaches, headaches, times of great anguish. And you feel that you cannot take it. Or they may feel that their lives are so tied down now that they're married with children. So many things that they want to do, now they cannot do. So what then? Does it mean don't get married? Don't have children? And also don't be single? Then how? So what then is the true perspective? What's the posture that we should adopt? How should we approach this issue of life? Applying what we've been considering, I see it's very important for us to first realize it's very important to try to understand the will of God for our lives and to submit to God's will for our lives and the attitude of our hearts and the whole approach to this issue. To realize that God's will for our lives is perfect and the best. Sincere desire to understand, to submit to God's perfect will for our lives in this area and to be faithful to Him and to adopt the right attitude. This is a very crucial thing regards this issue. And if we ensure this, we can then have true confidence in the Lord that every situation, every context will be meaningful. Whether we are single, we are married, with or without children. Do not try to attempt to reach out for ourselves what is not God's will for our lives, because it can lead to many problems that God never intended for us to have, as well as significant detrimental effects on our lives. So the whole way we should approach this issue, a sincere desire to understand the will of the Lord, to submit to God's perfect will, and to know that if we are faithful to the Lord, we adopt right to then the Lord, whatever may be the Lord's will for us, single, married, with or without children, we can face the issues of life with the Lord in each situation with a deep sense of assurance that there will be meaning, there will be positive direction, our lives will be fruitful, we will not be living in vain. Those things that we go through are not meaningless. There will be much meaning in it. So if you are single, and while you are single, then appreciate the freedom that you have as a single person and seek your best to grow in the Lord and to contribute and to serve whatever you are able to in the state that you are in as a single person, which others, when they are married and children, may not be in a position, may not be able to conduct themselves the way that you can. So appreciate, while you are single, the freedom that you have, the state that you are in, and live to the best. Do you know how? Coupled with that, if you are single, you must be careful how you proceed in the direction of marriage. I will not elaborate on this thing here. We talk about this to some degree in an earlier message. In the Lord willing, in the future, you need to consider more of these issues. But regards to the proceeding direction of marriage, we must be very careful. Otherwise, we may enter into relationships that the Lord never intended for us and get into serious complications. Those of us who are married, hopefully we have been careful and we have proceeded in the direction of marriage in a meaningful way. But whatever it is, once you are married, we now have to work at it. And it is not helpful for us to keep pondering over whether we've made a mistake or any thoughts about whether or how much better if we are not married and so on. Although in another sense, to some degree, there is a place for some consideration of it from this angle, that if it comes through to us that there are major problems you are going through because we have not been careful in the whole way we approach the issue of marriage, well, if it comes through to us, if it comes through to us in that way, we can ponder about it and learn properly from it. The important areas of life, when we are not careful, the consequences it can lead to can have a positive aspect in the sense of learning from errors in the past and to be much more careful in the way we approach issues of life in the future. But apart from that point, learning from the mistake and be careful, more careful in the future, realize the will of the Lord for you now. Now that you are married, the will of the Lord for you. The Lord still has a will for you now that you are already married. And to the special person, the will of the Lord for you now is to work out your life within this framework that is already fixed for you, and you now work it out. That's the will of the Lord for you now. And so you seek to be faithful to the Lord in this context. So those who are married, then you learn to appreciate whatever companionship, whatever cooperation you can get from your spouse, whatever way you can work out your lives together in a meaningful way, but also learning to appreciate what we can learn from the Lord, of the Lord, and also the truths and principles of life through the many difficulties, trials that we may go through in married life. Trials and difficulties doesn't only come to those who are probably wise in the way they approach the issue of marriage. Even if you are properly, you've gone about it properly, and the marriage is meaningful in the eyes of the Lord, there can still be many trials and difficulties and pain. In fact, as we should by now be quite clear about, if a couple sincerely seeks to be faithful to the Lord, there will be significant difficulties, pains that they will go through. In fact, often we can avoid many of these kinds of pain in the path of faithfulness by compromising, and as a result having relatively more easy and pleasant times. But that is not pleasing to the Lord, and we will then forfeit the proper sense of confidence I mentioned just now, the deep sense of assurance of the meaning, the fruitfulness of our lives. So we don't measure our lives by how difficult or pleasant or easy it is, but more our concentration, our primary concern is how to be faithful to the Lord in the context, the situation that we are in, and to realize that if you are faithful and you concentrate upon that, our lives will not be meaningless. There will be meaning, there will be direction, and it will be fruitful. You'll learn much for our own lives, as well as you will contribute to effective ministry. Likewise, married with or without children. If you have children, no doubt there will be various areas of responsibilities and difficulties, but also recognize that there is very much meaning in the bringing up of children and in family life. Though not just thinking about how much advantages there can be when the children grow up and how much help they can render to you, although that is true, it's also something you can look forward to. But when children grow up, they also will pose difficulties to you of a different form. There are still responsibilities that you have to fulfill. But there's much meaning in bringing up children, nurturing them, and to see them grow in the Lord as you fulfill your responsibilities, that you can contribute so much to the lives of individuals and their eternal destiny. And as you see them responding to the way you nurture them, teach them, encourage them, there's very much meaning. Not in the development of the children and the potential within them, but also many lessons that we ourselves can learn in the process and the joys and meaning of family life, even in the midst of difficulties that may arise. Likewise, without children, to realize that marriage is completely without children doesn't mean that you must have children, but you're missing out. Something is missing in your life. You're somehow incomplete. It's quite clear to us that surely it is not, really it is not the Lord's will that all married couples must have children. If they do not have children, something is wrong somewhere. You know that it's not so. Some have children, some don't. And if we do not have children, then we concentrate on our lives in the context of those without children. And without the various responsibilities of children in our hands, there are various other aspects that are meaningful in life we can concentrate upon, given the time and energy that we have. Likewise, when we're talking about those who are single, and you have now the advantage of the companionship of your spouse, but again, with regards to children, the issue of children and the desire for your children, although having children can be meaningful, and there's nothing wrong with our desire to have children in itself, just as a preference for marriage is not wrong in itself, we must be careful also about how we go about trying to have children, and especially in the modern world, the modern context, where there are modern facilities and methods with the progress in science and medicine. Various methods that can make possible the possibility of having children, various methods and ways of that has come about as a result of advancement in medical facilities and scientific knowledge, we have to be very careful. Not just to avail ourselves because we want the children of all these things, but to ponder carefully. Not to go about it in a way that raises strongly the issue of the will of the Lord for our lives. In other words, going about it in a way, some aspects you can see clearly displeasing the eyes of the Lord, but the whole way you go about trying to get to have a child, you can compare that with someone who is single trying to get married, trying to find a marriage partner. There's a parallel there. We have to try to understand the will of the Lord, how we go about it. There are some aspects which can be valid, but we have to be very careful that we do not go about it and as a result end up having a child contrary to the will of the Lord for our lives. So then, because of this area of marriage, for a single, married, with or without children, whatever may be the context, if we are faithful, we know that there will be much meaning, much that we can learn, and also there will be fruitfulness, even if there are many difficulties and much pain. And also, we can trust God's sovereign undertaking. But what is primary? This is the thing that we must constantly bear in mind. What is primary and what we need to pay attention to? Primarily has to do with our spiritual health, our walk with God, our right attitude and perspective. And then, by God's grace, we can meaningfully go through whatever may be the context, whether single, married, with or without children. And also whatever may come our way in such context. Otherwise, any context also will not be meaningful, and we also will not be able to go through well. Otherwise means we are preoccupied with this area, but our spiritual health is not good. We are not paying sufficient attention to our spiritual health, our walk with God, our attitudes, our perspective. Then it can be a big problem. Whether you are married, with or without children, whether you are single, it will not be meaningful. You will not be able to go through well. When I say not meaningful, I'm not necessarily saying that it means that you must have more difficulties or not going too well means you're having more difficulties. I'm talking about meaning, like meaningfulness and going too well from a scriptural perspective, from the perspective of eternity. In other words, we have to concentrate on being faithful to the Lord, and then we can trust God's sovereign undertaking and also God's provision of what is best. So this, in summary, is the approach to these issues. Concentrate on being faithful. Trust God's sovereign undertaking and provision of what is best, rather than preoccupied with this issue, and then take various steps which are merely expressions of the self-life. Be very careful about this to get what we want. Either be the single trying to get married, or those who are married trying to get children, whatever it may be, because it can then be very detrimental to our lives. But having said this, we can also bear in mind that we can prayerfully ponder over these issues and their implications. Does mean the single cannot think about these things? Those who are not, do not have children, cannot consider these things? We can prayerfully ponder over these issues and the implications, as well as pray over these matters specifically to the Lord to guide, to undertake, to provide according to His perfect wisdom. At the same time, trusting that the Lord knows what is best. And also, besides praying to the Lord, we can also cooperate with God accordingly. But the whole attitude, the whole approach is crucial. We must first be settled in our hearts that we can really trust God's sovereign undertaking and provision of what is best. And in that context, we seek to cooperate with Him. So whatever steps that we may take, and there are steps that can at times be meaningful and legitimate and proper, but make sure whatever steps that we take must be consistent with faith in the Lord and faith, confidence in Him, that He not only desires the best for us, but is well able to provide the best for us. And then to the best that we know how, we seek to cooperate with Him. So it arises from a heart of submission to God. This is something that we must ensure, not just something that we hear or we pay lip service to. We must ensure that there must be constantly a true worship of God, which is linked to true submission to God and His will for our lives. In that context, we rejoice in Him, we cooperate with Him, whether it be this issue of marriage and children, or, and including, trying to work out, cooperate with God as to how best to work out our lives in the context that we are in. We'll stop here for today. Just a brief summary of what we have considered. Today we covered two main points. The first point is the importance and helpfulness of such times as David fleeing from King Saul, times like that for effective ministry, the experiences with God, and how we go through such times with God, how they can be food, provide food for spiritual food for future ministry, storehouse from which we can draw for future ministry and provide strength and foundation for ministry. That there'll be that reality, spiritual reality, life, and impact that comes forth from our lives as we minister, whether it be preaching, teaching, sharing, talking to groups, individuals, we'll be in a position to constantly serve from the abundance of what we have accumulated what we have learned, what the Lord has taught us, the realities, the insights that we have gained, not just perception, understanding, but also the substance that have been formed within, on the basis of which we serve and minister. And also such times, as we learn to go through them well, help us to understand and identify with others who are going through struggles and difficulties. And as we hear them, you'll be able to understand them. As we share with them, they also can sense that we understand them. And the truths that we share with them, the approach that we suggest to them, will come through to them in a manner that is helpful. And also, we will be in a position to know what we are talking about and share what is relevant and helpful. And the truths that we talk about will not be hollow and empty, but there will be spiritual reality backing it, because these things are real to us. Only truths and principles will come to recognize, but what we have also put into practice in our own lives. The second main point that we consider today is the approach that we take. How to approach, view, and the posture in which we go through all kinds of contexts of life, especially various contexts which may be difficult, when we feel harassed, when we feel life is meaningless, or contexts when we feel as if there isn't anything meaningful going on, can't accomplish much, can't learn much, others having so much power and sway over our lives and we feel rather helpless. Whatever may be the context, situation, we should ponder over prayerfully. If our lives are right before God, He's pleased with us, we are where He wants us to be, we are living lives the way He desires of us. Ensure that this is so, and if this is so, then we know that we are doing well, and we can face each situation with true confidence that there will be meaning in the situations we are going through, because God is sovereignly undertaking, which is an issue that we can be confident about also. There will be positive direction, and our lives will be fruitful, we will not be living in vain. It's very important for us to be able to adopt this kind of approach, this kind of assurance and sense of confidence in the Lord and direction, to be able to face all kinds of situations of life in this way. This will be very, very helpful and important, especially various difficult situations and trials that we go through. And for today, we have sought to consider this area of truth in regards to one major area of life, the issue of marriage. Whether we are single, we are married, with or without children, all these various contexts, it can be very difficult. We can also feel unhappy, miserable, not meaningful in any of these states. But on the other hand, if we ensure that our lives are right before God, then we learn to submit meaningfully to the will of God for our lives, whether we single, married, with or without children. We concentrate on being faithful to God. Then we can trust God's sovereign undertaking to provide what is best for us, and also to be able to face and to go through all these different contexts with a deep sense of confidence that the Lord is undertaking, there is much meaning, much we can learn, and also there will be fruitfulness, whether you're single, married, with or without children. We must concentrate primarily on our spiritual health and our attitudes, because otherwise you're not healthy spiritually, whatever the context will be, you will not be meaningful. We will not be able to go through well. And we must be careful not to take things into our own hands and not try to either get married or get children. Just out of expressions of the self line to get what we want rather than submission to the will of God for our lives. Because if we do so, we will hurt our lives and there can be rather significant detrimental long-term damaging effects for us. Let us now prepare our hearts, ponder over our lives, let us ponder over whether our lives are right before God. Is He pleased with us? Are we where He wants us to be? Going through the line, going through life the way He desires of us? Are there any corrective measures that we need to take? Are we learning to go through the various situations of life to equip us for ministry? To seek to learn well, our primary concern, to learn, to develop, to be equipped. To be thankful that as we seek to do so, be faithful to the Lord, that He undertakes, that He has much to teach us. And whether we are single, married, with or without children, do we know how to submit the Lord's perfect will for our lives? To learn to rejoice and to cooperate with Him? To recognize the meaning, the fruitfulness, whatever may be the context we are in, if we learn to be true to the Lord and faithful unto Him. If there are any aspects that we need to put right, let us look to the Lord that He will speak to us, confess, acknowledge, and put right our lives before Him. Whatever perspective, posture that is not right, let us put right before Him. Father in heaven, we worship You and praise You, the true and living God, the God of perfect love and wisdom, who knows all things, who sees all things, who has our well-being in Your heart. Father, we are thankful that You watch over our lives, that our lives are in Your hands. We ask that You will help us to deepen our knowledge of You and our love for You, and what it means to be grateful to You and to trust You. And we know that there are various aspects of truth that we've come to recognize, to understand to some degree. We ask that You help us, that we will not just long to grow in our understanding of truth, but we may know how to receive appropriate, how to apply what we've come to understand in the various situations of life that we go through. For we know that the various situations of life often reveal our true position, the depth of our love for You, knowledge of You, understanding and commitment to the truths that we come to understand. For we know that what counts in the end is not what we affirm with our lips, but how we may respond and live our lives before the day by day. Help us, Father, that we will not be deceived nor deceive ourselves. Help us not to offer any excuses. Help us to recognize that You are the sovereign God, and that whatever context, situations You allow us to be in, to go through, we know that those who trust You are faithful to You, that we are not helpless. The situation will not be meaningless. That others cannot just do whatever we want in our lives, but we know that the sovereignty undertaking, we have much meaning, much that we can learn, and much also that we can contribute
can be fruit in our lives if we are faithful to you. And we must go through the situations that allow us to go through, to begin and what you want us to go through. We ask that you keep us from foolishly entering the situations that you do not intend for us, or in our own foolish desires reach out for context for things that you never intend for our lives. It's expressions of flesh mind to seek to obtain, to reach out, to lay hold of, but it would in the end be bitter, damaging for our lives. Help us. We will be wise. We will not move in those directions, especially in issues that are significant. Help us to pause, to pray, to be careful. And most of all, we ask, you help each one of us, the depths of our heart, to learn to fully submit to you, not just with our lips, but in true reality. To really love you, worship you, to submit your perfect will for our lives, to seek to be in you, and to know that your goodness, you'll provide for us what is best for us according to your perfect wisdom, which may not always be in line with our own thinking, but what we want, or even what we think is best for ourselves. So Father, we ask that you help each one of us to be able to go through life with a deep sense of confidence in you and your undertaking, the meaning and direction of life, because we have learned how to trust you and be faithful to you. We ask that this may be so for our personal lives, as well as for us together in church life. Your will be done. We thank you now for the bread and for the wine. We ask for the blessings in the bread and wine. We ask that you prepare our hearts, minds, and spirit to remain a perfect Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. Even now we ask that you cleanse us from all our sins. Help us be determined to take whatever steps and measures are necessary to correct ourselves. We praise you, we worship you, we give you thanks for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.